You're listening to Maneuvering Mondays, a podcast about transforming work culture.
This is the second part of the episode, and in this part, we've invited one or more guest experts to share their best advice to Marie from Zebra Apps. Your hosts today are AK
and Ivana.
And for this commentary episode, we have invited a new guest speaker to discuss the story part. Welcome to Anne Viborg Carlsen.
Thank you for inviting me.
We're so happy that you're here. Anne, you're a master of facilitation and an expert within leadership and organizational development. And today you're combining the field of facilitation with nature. And I'm really curious about this, so would love to hear a few more words about this.
Just very briefly, and thank you for the introduction. I would never consider myself an expert or a master anything, but I've been working in the field of facilitation for quite a few years, and then COVID hit, and facilitation is all about bringing people together and to like cross facilitate, and we couldn't do that. We weren't allowed to do it, not as we used to do. In workshops, indoors. So we moved our work outside and took groups out into nature. And then we discovered a whole new world of work and learning and inspiration by the way nature works. And that is what I'm exploring now in the organization I've co-founded. It's called Human by Nature, and we work with regenerative leadership and try to learn the way nature works and to adapt that into organizations.
Well, that is a really amazing thought and ties so well into this whole empirical approach to how do we work and lead. And I love that. And before we begin discussing the story parts, I would like to check in on a recent experience that you've had, or some reflections that you've done about the nature of work. And I would suggest that we check in the order of Anne-Katrine starting, then Anne, then myself.
And actually, just to to be frank here, I don't think a lot about work, to be honest, these days, because I'm home with my 5-month-old daughter. But something I've been really excited about this week is actually this whole idea of combining facilitation and nature and how this all emerged out of COVID times. I think that's really impressive, and also looking more into regenerative leadership.
I have a very recent experience that I would like to share. I just came home from picking up my car. It's been at the local garage for a service check. And there's something about stepping into this garage. There are 3 or 4 guys working there. There's a smell of oil. There's such a warm and nice feel in that garage, and they're there. They're very service minded. They understand what I'm saying. They call me and tell me what's wrong with my car and ask me. You know, there's such a good communication, and they do the work and they do it on time. And you shouldn't probably be so amazed about that, but there's something about service. I'm in so many other relationships with people who are supposed to help, and there's a lot about communication here, and it's just in a way for me a little bit surprising, you know, guys working in a garage, and they are just so amazingly good at communication.
And they probably don't have a communication department or a lot of consultants running around helping with them.
And I would say that in the past week, I've really experienced the power of asynchronous communication, especially when using chats. We've been experimenting with that for a while, but I think that in the past week, one of the teams that I work in really started using the chat at the same time. And we've had this great flow of information where everyone shares and pitches in, and we've uncovered misunderstandings and things people didn't know, things that need fixing. And that was great because we just got it all in there at the same time. So I'm a big fan of chats now when they work.
Okay, let's dive into the commentary part of this episode. So, Anne, we would like to hear, just to get started very briefly, how would you describe in your own words what this episode was about?
I think we are getting deeper into the organization. We are getting a better picture about what's happening both insides of Marie's head and around her. There are more different perspectives on the organization that is being presented here. New characters are introduced. And what we learn is that something has changed in the organization. There's this growth and a more commercial focus of the business. And so there's an increased complexity. The main thing of this chapter, or the main event, is a conversation between Anne, who has recently left the company and is now working as an independent consultant, and Marie. They meet in a cafe and have a very frank conversation about what's going on in the organization and the reasons why Anne has decided to leave. She's been a colleague who has been highly appreciated, and she's spent a lot of time in meetings. And there's something about meetings. People usually really don't like meetings, but it seems that the way Anne has used meetings has been very, very good for the culture in the department where she has been working. But now she has left, and she has some quite harsh comments on what's going on in the organization and also about Marie's role. So so there's actually a confrontation there, and Marie's pretty defensive, but slowly also opens up. So there's some kind of, I think she's getting some new perspectives also on her own role and what's going on also in her own HR department. So it's getting more and more messy, just like you experience when you enter an organization as a consultant and try to learn what's going on, and you only see the surface, and now we're getting deeper into it. And there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, and we are going to unfold some of what we experience in this chapter and some of the confrontations between Anne and Marie. But I am curious, when you were reading this, were there any methodologies or frameworks or theories that you were reminded of that you would apply on this situation?
We already talked a bit about regenerative leadership and looking at organizations as living systems. And I think both Marie and also later on Anne talks about the organization as an organism. Marie does so. She, there's in the start of the episode, she's explaining the company's policies on competence development to some new employees, and there's this guy coming from another organization who's also kind of confronting. He wants to know the budget for development, and she said, we don't have an allocated budget per person, but we see the organization more like an organism, and it's more about learning in action and stuff like that. And he then says, okay, when there's not a budget, then I can apply for the most expensive conferences. So she also gets an idea that there's trouble on the way coming from this guy. But and the other mentioning of the organization as an organism is in the conversation in the cafe between Anne and Marie, where colleagues and her work with her colleagues as a team. She talks, and I think that's interesting, of them as an ensemble, as you see in a theater. And she talks about people as, or the organization as an organism. So I think the systemic look at the organization as a living system, then you begin to see things differently. And there's definitely a lot here, I think. So I would apply an ecosystemic analysis of this organization. Try to see, so where's the flow of energy, of resources, of communication, of knowledge, and where is it blocked? I would definitely look into that, because there's a lot of things that are blocked.
Just a question to that, very practical. Would you do this in a workshop or during interviews, or how would you approach the task?
I would ask everybody to be part of mapping the organization as an ecosystem, because everybody is a part of the system. And as we already talked about, there are so many different perspectives. And a way to really get into that is to ask everybody to map the organization and then to look at all the different maps and see how, where they match and where they don't, and then have discussions about that. So how do you see, so how are you connected to other people, individuals, and other functions and other departments, divisions, both internally and also externally? But I would start here internally in the team, and then look at the organization as a whole. So I would involve everybody, the entire organization.
Just one more follow-up question. Do you think this would be a task for the HR team or for the managers or someone completely different? I mean, not, you know, I know everyone.
Or initiated. It depends so much on the culture. I know organizations where everybody would be entitled to, or it would be okay for everybody to suggest that, to say, okay, I think there's a problem, and also feel an obligation to actually act on it and say, there's a problem here. And I think an idea could be to perform an ecosystemic analysis or try to look into this. But in other organizations, it would be HR. In other organizations, it would be the management team, yeah.
And I think what the approach that you're suggesting, to me, it sounds like a departure of ways that could you maybe comment on how is this a departure from, for example, what a management consulting firm would usually do when they arrive in an organization? Would they look at the ecosystem or would they look at something else?
There's been so many examples of organization or consultants moving into an organization, collecting a lot of data, and then doing their analysis and coming back and presenting something to the organization that nobody recognizes and don't have a clue about. How did you get to this idea about us as an organization? So I, of course, as a facilitator, I would not work like that. I would work with others would. Like an organization called Quest would work with the questions. What are the questions in the organization? And then based on that, instead of asking questions, then collecting questions and to see, okay, what's going on in this organization? What are people interested in? What are they working on? What are they discussing? What are they trying to find solutions to? So there are so many different approaches to it.
I actually had another question in the line of that, because you talk about this ecosystemic analysis, and now I was just to be very clear, what would the outcome be of that analysis, and how could that be used?
The outcome would be a picture of the organization as a whole, and where you could see also discrepancies. You could see, okay, everybody agrees on that there's a problem here, or there's something we need to look into here, but there are also some things where we have really different views on the same thing. That is interesting. Let's look into that and find out. So when you think that there's not, when you feel disconnected or feel there's a disconnect between this and that, what are you experiencing? This is a lot about sensing. It's not so much about measuring. It's more about feeling, sensing into an organization. So what is it that you sense that make you draw this line very thin, or saying that there's not a connection here? Or So I would look at that both to see, okay, there's an agreement, or we have a very mutual idea about this and that, and then there's some very diverging ideas about something else, and that's interesting. Let's dig into it.
And it does actually really, in this episode, it is clear that Anne and Marie, they have two very different experiences of reality in some of the topics they talk about, I think. Like, for instance, who's holding the team together.
Maybe we should dive into some of the areas where Anne and Marie have their confrontations, or where maybe Anne confronts Marie. We do get a little bit closer to understanding why Anne might have left, also with the context that Jenny, Anne's former manager, provides earlier in the episode. How do you think Anne's perception of what ties a department together varies from how Marie's experiencing her?
I think perhaps they have the same idea, but I think the way they act on their ideas about what keeps the team together is quite different, or are quite different. Anne is very much on, you know, working along with relationships and whereas I'm really seeing Marie as a quite disconnected person. She is just having breakfast with her team on Fridays. And that's nice. And that's kind of, okay, you institutionalize your relationships, or you have these events where you are a team. And apart from that, you work very independently. And I don't really see it. Probably it is like the story describes it in some organizations, but the fact that there's so little communication between Marie and her boss, Mark, and that Natalie, the CEO, gives Marie the task of fixing this problem. And she just takes it and doesn't discuss it with anybody else. And then she's working on it. She's trying to fix this on her own. And there's no communication and no sharing. She finds out that, is it again Mark who's been doing these exit interviews? And he's been very secretive about that. I don't know what's in there. And then to get all these printed copies of the interviews. So I think they have the same idea about what makes a good team, and that relationships and communication is important. But I think their way of performing it or living it are completely different.
I agree. I also made a note, I really noted that Anne seems to think that Marie and her team would try to fix all these retention problems just with a single workshop, whereas Anne believes more in making a more comprehensive effort to listen and really trying to understand what are people's backgrounds for doing what they do and feeling how they feel and so on. And she also has this kind of snappy comment that Marie's team act like HR consultants who are incidentally on a full-time contract. And I think that was really interesting. I guess Marie is quite defensive, but she also gets some hard truth in this meeting, I think.
Oh, yeah, she does.
Yeah, and I think also it's interesting how the information flow varies. I'm actually only seeing that now in this conversation, that there's a difference between, do you have these set points of interaction, like the breakfast or a team meeting where you would talk about things? Or do you kind of try to feel out where are people and how can we navigate the ecosystem together?
And maybe more on the people's terms, right? Not on your own kind of come to my breakfast or I will not listen.
Yeah, that's interesting. And also we experienced that Marie, one of the things Anne challenges Marie about is her relationship with Paul. Paul, who is the head of HR operations, where Anne challenges her to say that Marie actually crowded out some of Paul's initiative by stepping in over her boundaries. And one of Marie's beefs with Paul is that he does not come to these Friday breakfasts. My reflection is, Anne, do you think there's hope for Marie and Paul after that she realizes that part of their dysfunction may be her own fault?
Yeah, I think so. I think my idea is also about how the story will unfold, that I don't think this is a tragedy. I think this is a story about how people can grow and develop. That would be my expectation. And accordingly, Marie must also try to see herself, how she is, like we all are, a part of what's going on and responsible for what is happening around us, whether we do or don't act. You know, you're part of it. You're part of the system, and you need to realize that and become aware of the impact you have. And it's about communication. It's about actually talking to each other, and perhaps also not talking but listening and sensing. Again, there's something about also trying to use your full capacity as a human being to sense what's going on here, and then to be curious and to ask. And there's a lot in this organization. You it's also even for Mark that there's a problem with the culture. So there's something about being very protective and defensive and controlling, and so there's a complete lack of trust. I don't hear any, you know, people are, even the chef who is keeping food for Marie, because she's always too late to have the nice food in the canteen, and then he knows that, and so he's kind of building a relationship with Marie and probably has very good reasons for it. But it's just, okay, I'm investing in this relationship because I have an idea about that there'll be a return of investment. So it's not like it's very open and heartfelt. It's all very calculated. How do I invest my energy in which people, which relationships, and who do I want to or need to control, and how do I need to also keep my own safety and boundaries and not get involved in all of that, which is very normal. This is a very normal organization, I think. Very human.
Yeah, that's probably resonates with a lot of people's lived experience of their workplace with a transactional approach to work, but also where information can be taken hostage and where getting an assignment can be a reward. I do wonder, now we talk about Marie and Anne seems to have observed certain truths about Marie, but what about Anne herself in this conversation? Are there any concerns or thoughts about how she views the world, or is she just right?
She's definitely on a better diet than Marie. So I guess that's a way also like characterizing the people. But there's a situation about the person, Andrea, who's been developing something, and there's this transgender thing that she was not aware of, and Marie is kind of blaming her or using that to say, hey, you're not perfect, you're not aware of that, and you don't have the full picture. And she doesn't, nobody has the full picture. That's the whole idea of inviting everybody in, because nobody can have the full picture. And I think also Anne is a bit righteous, you know, she's kind of a little bit black-white. But I also kind of respect her for being taking action and taking, you know, kind of responsibility for herself and saying, this is, I don't want to be part of this. This is not how I like to work and be with people. And especially also the reason for her resignation is this project that she's been heading, that it is not being accepted by the management, this Ukrainian I don't know what it's called, but this program they have been developing for Ukrainian refugees, and it's just put a lot of effort into, and she's taking responsibility for her frustration and is leaving. So, and I do respect that. I don't know if she's been trying to contact Marie a lot of times about that, but that's again also something. So is there only this thin line of communication? Could Anne have done something else? How could she have organized people? They need to have a conversation, and who is responsible for that? And everybody is, in my opinion. And I think Anne, being a person who holds a lot of credibility, or that she's a person who many people trust, so she could have also perhaps been the one to bring that forth and say, okay, we need a broader discussion about this. This is important, and you know, instead of having these calls or trying just to get through to Marie, I don't really get that.
I agree. I also think that she's. I think it sounds like she's been very focused on the engineering department, on her own department, and it doesn't. We don't really get to see if she did anything really trying to talk to leadership or trying to do anything to address this problem more, maybe from leadership instead of her just trying to solve it herself. So that we don't know, but I would certainly hope so, that she had tried that before she left. Because otherwise, I think that would be something she could have done differently, instead of just giving up, because she seems like she's very focused on her own team and managing the creative energy there.
Yeah.
But I think this is all this is maybe a symptom of problems in this organization that would that they would benefit from in other departments as well.
Yeah. Sure.
Can I ask the both of you a question? Because you've both had that experience of leaving jobs and starting your own companies, more or less like Anne does. Is that the answer? Is leaving your day job in an organization that's dysfunctional and starting your own company where you perhaps do consulting, such as Anne does? Is that what one can do, and does that work?
I have some very, very strong opinions about that. And at the same time, I did it, you know, and it's 20 years ago I decided to start my own one-woman business, which was never intended to be just me, but that happened. And now I'm trying to do something else, more collaborative. But for me personally, it was about having worked for several organizations for like 15 years and beginning to, every time I started a new job, full of, you know, optimism and enthusiasm and a lot of ideas and aspirations, and then very soon realizing, okay, this is how the situation is and I can't change it. So there's something you can change and something you can't. And I became better and better in knowing where I could have an impact and where not. And it's something about, I realized when the concrete is so thick that you will break your head if you start running or jumping into it, then it's time to quit. So that was my reason for doing so. But now I've been doing this survey or study on people who are opting out without having new jobs. And our conclusion is that it's not a solution. The solution is to stay and to fight and to change the system, because otherwise opting out is an individual response to a problem that is systemic, and we will never change the system if people just quit. But I understand why they do it, especially after conducting this survey, because people are really struggling out there. And as long as people are not being heard and are not being listened to, one thing is to hear, another thing is to listen to, and also to try to adapt, then I understand it. But I don't think leaving is good. I think the heroic act is to stay and to fight. So I would have liked to see Anne also staying there and starting a movement for change.
Yeah. I would actually like to get back to that, but I can just quickly answer first for myself. So when I left my previous day job and started my own, it was actually not because of any, that there was any dysfunctions where I worked. It was more a personal wish of mine to try to work from a kind of a different perspective as a consultant, where you come in more from the outside and you can maybe, you definitely contribute with other things. But then again, you can come in with new views, but there's also something that's harder because you don't know the organization the same way that you do when you're internal. But I wanted to try both sides. I also agree that in this situation where Anne is leaving because she thinks the system is flawed, I also think that's a shame because she seems like a person who could actually help changing the system. She seems like she's maybe even the only one really seeing this whole company as a system or looking at it in this way. So I think this is that's very unfortunate for Zebra apps, but I also think that points back to leadership that they didn't manage to kind of keep Anne in the company. And I think that's definitely a mistake from
there. There's not an invitation, as I hear it, and there's not a system set up where these conversations can happen, because that's something you can do. But that's not in place. So I don't think she's to blame, because why should she take that on her shoulders to change a culture that is apparently not interested?
Yeah, and I do think that it's also a big task for one person to change the system. So I think this goes back to what you said before, Anne, about this needs to be something you do together as a company. It's not something one individual can probably do. But she could maybe start the revolution or help doing something. And now maybe that's up to Marie.
Yeah, but again, that's also a question about, she doesn't seem like a very shy person, but it's also a thing about psychological safety. How safe is it to go out with criticism in an organization to be open about that? Mm-hmm. And I trust Anne quite a lot. So I think she's made an analysis and made a wise decision about leaving. They can hire her as a consultant now.
And that maybe ties into the next question. Anne, what do you think happens next in the story?
I think, because, you know, I'm also educated as a journalist and I studied literature, and I think that we need more conflict. We need more escalation. And there's so much still we don't know. So there's plenty of things to discover and disclose. And then at a point in time, there will be a climax. I don't know what it will be about, but something will happen. And I was thinking about, so what could it be? And sometimes. You can't, no matter how good you are at analyzing a situation, that things are happening that you don't have a chance to foresee. Of course, that's a little bit unfair if that happens in your setup, in your story, because you can't just let something from outside change the whole game, but still. But there's so much drama already. So that will be orchestrated, and there will be it will be more heated, and then there will be some kind of something that makes it all explode. I hope to see that. That would be lovely. And sometimes, really, organizations are so stuck in their own shit that it just needs to be like this. Burst out of everything, so the air can be cleaned, and so I'd like to say, but The other way, I think that's not how I, as a consultant, would approach, you know, like put some kind of hand grenade in the middle of everything. So there's something about also, but now we're starting to see how can we make this ecosystem? How can we cure it? How can we heal it? How can we regenerate it? And there's something about also to see where can you start? Where's a good way to start to make a change happen, to experiment with new ways of communicating, relating, collaborating, have these little like sandboxes where you can play with things and then see what works, and then you can implement it into the wider system. But I think there'll be a lot more happening here. I hope Marie will not leave, because she's kind of holding the story so far.
And Christine, do we have more questions? Otherwise, I was thinking of starting to round off.
Yes. I wanted to just quickly ask, is there anything we can learn from this episode as listeners or as professionals?
I think that my takeaway from it is that everything is about, it's all about relationships. It's all about communication, because communication runs through relationships.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
And if our listeners want to reach out to you after listening to this episode, where can they find you?
Oh, they can find me on Human by Nature's website, and it's humanbynature.dk. And they're also very welcome to find me on LinkedIn, and also email me on anne@humanbynature.dk.
Thank you so much. And this was a real pleasure.
It was indeed. And I'm looking forward to see what's happening next.
What are your thoughts on Marie's situation? Have you had a similar experience? And what would you have done? Join the conversation on our LinkedIn page and let's maneuver Mondays together.